Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Season 2 of The Great American Read is up and running on PBS Tuesday nights. Top objective, determine America's best-loved novel. Executive producer Jane Roof joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. From there, we've got an hour highlighted by back-to-back interviews with new series co-stars. Hannah Anderson from U.S. Network's The Purge joining us live from Toronto, and Serge Sharma coming to God Friended Me on CBS September 30th. He'll join us live here in New York. Also ahead, an Emmy Award preview and predictions from our guests, and yours truly, plus our classic trivia question of the week. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. 76 degrees at the top of the hour here in the Big Apple, and we welcome you to this pre-Emmy Award edition of the program All About Television. Nice to have you aboard wherever you're catching us on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. Some wonderful guests coming away over the next 90 minutes, and we invite you to be part of the program, not only with questions and comments for our guests, but we'd love to hear from you about who you hope will win tonight when the Emmy Awards happen 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, live coast-to-coast on NBC. All you have to do, give us a call. Raise your voice. Use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. Our chat room is open for business, and that's another place that you can give us your pre-Emmy thoughts. Just go to SimonApple04 by name. That's our chat room. You will find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and you can be live and they can be live with you. We will have our guests right after this news note. Primetime Emmy Awards Night 2018 is less than 5 hours away. Tonight's presentation on NBC could be historic in one respect. Netflix has been positioned to be the first non-broadcast or cable venture to win the most awards in a given year. Going into tonight, Netflix collected 16 Emmys, with HBO second at 13 awards and NBC 11. Game of Thrones is leading the Emmy count among individual series with 7. Saturday Night Live follows with 6. And Andy Bourdain's Parts Unknown on CNN with 5. Again, the Emmy Awards, happening on a rare Monday night situation, hosted by Colin Jost and Michael Che of SNL, starts at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, live to all time zones here in the United States on NBC. And I'll have my turn Emmy forecasting before the end of today's episode. And before we go to our first guest, the Great American Read's Jane Root, we do want to give you an update on the remnants of what was hurricane, then tropical storm, now the remnants of Tropical Depression Florence. At this moment, the center of the storm is right around the Charleston, West Virginia area. The current forecast is 1 inch plus today and tonight for Washington, D.C. That's 1 inch plus of rain. And between 1 to 2 inches of rain for the New York City metro area, mostly north and west of NYC. If you're south of NYC, particularly southern New Jersey, chances are you're going to get probably less than an inch of rain and mostly in spots. It looks like Boston is going to be the hardest hit of the Mid-Atlantic and New England cities, with 2 to 3 inches of rain expected late today, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So that is the latest on what was the remnants of Hurricane Florence. And, of course, our thoughts and prayers continue to be with everybody in the Carolinas, Southern Virginia, Georgia, and other places that have been impacted by this storm. And that is news notes for today. Now, Julia Fine from Washington, D.C., is the executive producer of PBS's new Tuesday night series, The Great American Read, now in Season 2. It's great to have back on this program Jane Root. Jane, welcome in.
Thank you. Hi there.
Hello, it's a pleasure to have you back. How's things going with Season 2 of The Read?
Well, it's kind of amazing. We've had so many votes, more than 3 million votes so far in this kind of contest to find out America's best-loved novel. And we've got a book club with 45,000 people commenting almost every day about, you know, what books they love, what they recommend, what they hate. And we're all heading into the final weeks of this to see which book is going to win.
Any early trends about what people out there like to see as the best love novel?
Well, it's interesting. I'm not supposed to give you too many hints, but there's certainly a sense that I think they divide us into two groups, really. There's some amazing classics, which you absolutely would imagine to do really well, you know, books that everybody feels that they ought to read in their lives. There's some strong showing from some sci-fi books written in the last 10, 15 years. Again, not completely surprising. And there's also some really recent books as well, which are out there showing well. So it's all to play for. There's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm. I would think that among some of the best loved candidates that are pretty natural would be novels like The Killing Mockingbird, The Catcher in the Rye, A Separate Piece, maybe 1984, sort of a very offbeat choice. Are there any, Grapes of Wrath by John Steinbeck of Mice and Men, are there any novels or genre of novels that are a surprise, you might say?
Well, it's not surprising that there's so many books that you feel like are the books that you read when you're just getting into reading when you're a kid, and they kind of stay with you for the whole of your life. I mean, I'm old enough that for me it was the Narnia books. I think if you're 20 today, it's almost probably Harry Potter. If you're a different generation, maybe Mockingbird. You know, I think there's definitely those things that you read first off. Pretty surprising to see 50 Shades of Grey in there as one of the 100 best-loved books in America. That was a surprise. So we were genuinely asking people what was the book they loved the most, not the best, but the one that is closest to your heart. And you get different answers when you ask that question to just what you think it's like. What's the best? It's like a school question. What's your best love book? Is like a delicious kind of after dinner chat with someone you're really good friends with.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious. Were there any selections that were inspired by television shows like Game of Thrones or Star Trek?
Game of Thrones,
other genre shows?
Oh. Yeah, I mean, the way we did it is that we did this huge survey across America to find the top 100, and then people get to vote on the top 100. So we didn't just want every, it gets confusing if you've got every single book there. But so in the top 100, absolutely, Game of Thrones is in there, Outlander is in there, Harry Potter is in there, big books which have TV connected to them. Also books which have movies, like Ready Player One is in there, Dune is in there. Might not be the best movies, but people really have a passion for the books, which is wonderful.
Mm-hmm. How did this contest come about in the first place?
Years and years ago, when I was ran a network in Britain, we did a contest called Big Read, which was a much smaller scale thing, but which everyone really in Britain became an obsession. Everywhere you went that summer, there were people with books with stickers on them and bookshops with big posters, and it became a real big thing there. It ended up in a real kind of knockdown fight between the two winners. The whole country really got engaged. So the two winners there, the finalists, the big finalists, were Pride and Prejudice and Lord of the Rings. And it was kind of like everybody in the country had a passion for one or the other. On the final night, which we showed live, the Pride and Prejudice had been voting quicker. They would have overtaken Lord of the Rings, but they didn't quite get there. So Lord of the Rings won, which is pretty exciting.
The Great American Read is now in its second season on public television stations. Most of those stations play it tomorrow night with the second episode, and that episode is happening tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Other public television stations will play it later in the week or later Tuesday or during the weekend. And we've got the executive producer, Jane Root, with us. We had her on earlier this year when she and her company, Newtopia, were involved with Darren Aronofsky on the critically acclaimed National Geographic Channel series, One Strange Rock, narrated by Will Smith, which, by the way, is coming back for second season in 2019. Jenny joins us live from Washington, D.C. this half hour on this pre-Emmy Award edition of Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon, have fun with you live from New York. Delighted to have you with us. And if you have a question or comment for Jane, and you also want to get your Emmy thoughts in, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Friday on Tomorrow Will Be Televised, guess what? Live science fiction drama is making a comeback decades after it first happened in the early 1950s. The project is called Orbital Redux, and we will have the writer-director of the project, Stephen Calcote, with us. He's with an independent production company, and they are doing it for Legendary. That's right, Legendary, the entertainment company that has blockbuster films as Pacific Rim and blockbuster TV shows like Lost in Space for Netflix and Colony, which wrapped up a three-year run earlier this year on USA Network. It's going to be running on a service that currently is on your personal computer called Alpha. Could it become a smart TV set, smart TV device service? We'll find out when Stephen is joined by Johnny Wickham. He is the development vice president of Legendary Digital Networks. And by the way, this is a program that's not only live, but it's interactive. Could it be a harbinger of television's future in this age of smart TV sets and smart TV devices? That's Stephen Calcote from Orbital Redux and Johnny Wicker from Legendary, both with us live in the same segment. Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televised. They will be our lead guest. And there's a possibility that for the first time in several years, we may be doing this episode on the road. So stay tuned to us through Facebook and Twitter. We'll let you know, in fact, if that happens. And that's because we may have the possibility of an in-person guest who will be traveling here to New York on Friday. So stay tuned for the details on that. Jane, were you involved with Great American Read the first year out? And if not, why did you decide to come in the second year?
Well, it was only the first show about when we kind of launched the campaign. So that was really the launch. This is now the final moment, which we're about to begin. So it's one of the series, one of the end of the first series.
Jane, speak up a little bit. And by the way, I understand we're getting a little bit some squeakiness with the phone. I'm not sure on which side of the phone line it is, but we apologize if you're catching that to all of our listeners out there. Jane, I remember years ago, PBS used to have a series, ran a long time, called Book Weird. It was with Robert Crumb. He was the book critic for Chicago Sun-Times. It was a basically straight interview show, but a lot of people liked it. It was out of WGW Chicago, and it really provoked a big interest at the time, it was like the 70s and the 80s, in reading. Started the local show, then went on the full PBS network when public television was really starting to take off in the 70s. What is the purpose of Great American Read, and how are you sort of expanding what BookBeat did in terms of showcasing to people around the country the greatness of literature?
Well, the big thing here is that you can actually, that there's events all over the country with local PBS stations. But you can also, you can vote. You can vote once a day on any device. And so you're seeing people, there's really devoted fans who are putting timers on their phones to vote every single day. So that there's a level of engagement which is just really new like that. But also there's a book club that you can join and join in these passionate discussions with other enthusiasts.
Mm-hmm. How do you illustrate the different topics that are on each program? For example, tomorrow night the topic is Who Am I, which is all about novels that look at individual people and their sort of journeys through life, sometimes with a spiritual tone, sometimes it's sort of like slice of life, slice of happenings depending on what they deal with.
Well, we the books have advocates, people who really are passionate about them, people who, and they're like, and they're saying, this is, I really want you to vote for this book. So John Green, who wrote Looking for Alaska, he's there supporting Catcher in the Rye. George R.R. Martin, of course, from Game of Thrones, is there talking about Lord of the Rings. So there's people who say, you should vote for this book. This is my favorite. This is what I'm voting for. And that kind of passion is what is new and different. I think, you know, there's still a lot that you still learn stuff and find out stuff about books, but it's like inviting someone into something that you really love. It's a chance to kind of get involved and think, wow, if they like that, maybe I might like it too.
Mm-hmm. Some of the topics in upcoming episodes are pretty fascinating. Topics like one episode devoted to heroes, another devoted to monsters and other villains. Another is to take the famous A Chorus Line song, What We Did for Love. And there is one that also deals with the world of science fiction. How do you arrange the season from beginning to end? How do you determine, tomorrow night
we
do
MI? It's so funny. We had a huge whiteboard in our office with, 100 different postcards stuck to it, and we were like, well, where does Harry Potter go? Is it in How Your Life Changes, because it's about a boy growing up, or is it in Monsters, because it's got Voldemort, one of the great modern monsters of all time? And so we were like, oh, it could go here. No, it could go there. We were constantly moving things around. Harry Potter ended up in How Your Life Changes, and I think we referenced Voldemort, but he's not a star in the Monsters show. So it's like a huge jigsaw puzzle, putting all the pieces together.
Mm-hmm. One of the pieces of the show is Meredith Vieira and her role as the host and sort of our guide to this world of reading. How did she decide to get involved in the project?
Well, we just asked her. We were real fans. We were real fans of hers, and we said, "Would you like to do it?" And she was just, she was like, "Oh God, I'd really love to do that." So that was where that all came from. And she's been so enthusiastic. She just dived in. She's been reading a lot of 100 books herself. Her favorite is any. It has to have a body. It has to have a murder. So that's what she really likes. But no, it's all. She's great, and she's a real enthusiastic participant in the whole thing. We couldn't have asked for a better host. We really couldn't.
Well, let everybody know that if you haven't seen The Great American Read yet, it's made possible by a grant from the Anne Roy Foundation and by this station, other public television stations, depending on where you are. But also, there's an interesting aspect to this, which is that the Corvus Republic Broadcasting has done a special grant program in conjunction with PBS and local stations, that some of the stations that are running this program are actually creating their own local content, as well as special screenings of episodes or forums that over the summer we're trying to encourage more reading and more participation in the overall contest. How creative, by the way, have the stations been in terms of doing these events or using these grants?
Oh, there's been hundreds of different things going on across the country. People arranging kind of costume parties, people having read-ins at libraries, people doing stuff with schools, people doing, amazing stuff. There's been real, real level of incredible enthusiasm. So exciting, really exciting. Once you get passionate about a book, you really, really kind of feel like you want to tell other people about it, and that's what it's all about. It's like, it's really about kind of grabbing hold of people by the elbow and saying, have you read this? And we're seeing that across the country. We're amazed by the response to the book club. We really are. And 3 million votes is way beyond what we expected to have at this time. So we're thrilled.
And how long do people have to get their votes in before the voting process closes?
October the 17th. And you can vote every single day. You can vote for a different book every single day. And you can vote once on your phone, once on your computer, once on your iPad. So lots of opportunity. And just go to PBS. Go to PBS.org. Or you can just do hashtag. And you can vote by Twitter or SMS. Or there's free phone lines. You can do just do hashtag the name of the book. And that will get you there.
Executive producer Jenny Rune is with us this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. She is doing The Great American Read, the second season of this PBS series that began last year. It's hosted by Meredith Vieira, and you can get the second episode on many PBS stations, including maybe one in your area, tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Remember, you have to check your local finale of the PBS station in your area about where they're running it, because other PBS stations will run it later on Tuesday, the next day, later in the week, or over the weekend. And many PBS stations, by the way, will replay the episode during the weekend. Jane joins us live from Washington, D.C. this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Applebaum here with you live from New York. Thank you for joining us on this Monday afternoon, September 2018, the Monday afternoon before the Emmy Awards, taking place again tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, on NBC. And if you have a question or comment for Jane, or you have any prediction you want to put in, do so. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Next Monday on Smartly Televised, we will have the executive producer of a new series that premiered this past Friday night on Travel Channel. And it's live. It's called Haunted Live. Christine Schuler will be with us as our lead guest. And then we'll have the creator and executive producer of a popular series now on Adult Swim called Dream Court LLC, Daniel Stetson, will be with us. Incidentally, next week, we have our three-episode week of the month. It's Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And on Wednesday's episode, my lead guest will be the person that made Monk happen, Andy Freckman. His new series, Tony Danza, is produced here in New York, and it's called The Good Cop. Andy Freckman from Monk and The Good Cop, our lead guest next Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Jane, we have a call. We're going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. What's your name, and where are you calling from? Hold on for a second. Let's try it again and see if we can get this person on. So bear with us, and let's try again right now. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. What's your name, and where are you calling from? Hello, you're on the air. Okay. Wait a minute, I think we may have the caller. Hello, you're on the air? Nope, I guess not. All right, caller, give it a try. Call back, and we'll see if we can try to pick you up if we can. All right, guess what? I think he has called back in, or she has called back in. So let's see if we can get that person. Hold on for a line. One more time. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Let that person in. All right, call back if you can, and we will try to get you on before. Jane, we had you on earlier this year to talk about One Strange Rock. The National Geographic Channel series did very well. You worked with Darren Aronofsky and Will Smith. What was the most satisfying part of doing that series?
Oh, it had to be hanging with the astronauts. There's nothing, you know, like we had 9 astronauts who we worked with throughout the whole series, and they were just amazing. It's nothing like, you know, I was in all these amazing places, but then you'd get into a conversation about how easy is it to sleep in space, or a bunch of women astronauts talking about how being in space is like the best facelift ever. It's just incredible. It's like conversations that you just never would dream that you would have. So they were great. And then Will Smith, wow, he was fantastic as well. So we were very, very privileged.
And it's coming back for a second season next year. I already started to work with Darren and Will on the second set of episodes.
Exactly. We're just beginning. We have a lot of planning going on. That the big whiteboards are out with all of the sticky pieces of paper, and we're just starting to like figure out where we should go. Should we go to Antarctica? Should we take Will Smith there? All that stuff's going on.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people may not know that you also, in addition to doing Great American Read and One Strange Rock, you have your own production company, Newtopia. What else is on the Newtopia schedule for the rest of this year and beyond?
Well, we've got a big show coming up for Netflix, which will be announced soon, which is about the last days of the Tsars, called The Last Tsars. That's just about complete. That will probably be going out in January. That's a big, expansive, dramatized show. What else do we have? A big show we're making for History, but which I can't tell you about. We have another big show we're making for Netflix. Not allowed to tell you. And it's a big show we're making for Amazon, which they will have to kill me if I mention it. So it's all pretty secret, but we're very busy at our little Newtopia offices right now.
Hi, Jane, before we let you go, Emmy Awards are tonight. Who is there any one person or any one show you would like to see win tonight?
I have 3 for you. Obviously, I'd love to see Tony Bourdain. What a terrible, sad loss for the whole world, really. So I'm sure that he will win. The 2 shows that I like the most this year that were surprising non-scripted shows. If anybody hasn't seen Judd Apatow's The Zen Diaries of Gary Shandling, anyone who really likes TV, that is the best show about TV. Just wonderful. It's on HBO. Really, just I'm a huge Gary Shandling fan, and so have a look at that. That's a wonderful, and I hope that wins. I also think Netflix's Wild Wild Country, just phenomenal piece of work. So kind of, and stick around. You know, you watch it and you can't believe the things that are happening. Get to episode 3 and you think, really? Did that really happen? And it did. So that's my recommendation for tonight.
I'm hoping some picks at the end of the program. That was not one of them, Zen Diaries, but if I was picking that category, I would pick that wonderful tribute to Gary by Judd Apatow. I thought it was a marvelous and a very unique tribute to a terrific comedy talent, both on and off screen. And I also agree with you about Wild Wild Country. And we're going to see what if Netflix, as I said earlier, could be the first non-broadcast or cable programmer to win more awards in a given year. Any scripted shows you'd like to see?
Yeah, it's a big night. Sorry?
Any scripted shows you'd like to see win tonight?
Oh, well, I've always been a Game of Thrones fan from the very beginning, but that's got so many awards. It's up to so many different categories. That's got to win. That's absolutely, you know, I think it would be shocking if that didn't really, really pick up a lot. And The Americans, I'm hoping that's going to get some big-time stuff too.
Well, this is the last time around for that series. It had a fantastic finale, a great 5-year run on FX, and there, I'm sure a lot of people are pulling for the series, for its creators, Joe Weisberg and Joe Fields, and also for Matthew Rice and Kerry Russell to maybe pull out an upset. And it could be possible.
Absolutely.
Oh, by the way, Jen, one other thing. Hulu premiered the new series. Have you seen the first yet, the new series from Bobo Lamont?
No, I haven't. I haven't. I know that Chris Hadfield, one of our astronauts, was a consultant on that. So I'm looking forward to that too.
I saw it Thursday night, Jane. I think it's a marvelous show. I know it's got mixed reviews, but I think a lot of people may have misread the way the show story tells. I think it's not about the journey to Mars. It's about the journey to make the journey to Mars, if you will. And I just thought the acting by Sean Penn and Tasha McElroy and everybody involved, and Jessica Hollins directing the first episode, which was screened here in New York at a Samsung Hulu-sponsored event called Women First on Thursday night, and it's been also screened a number of times there all weekend long. And I also think Colin Stetson's music, I've never heard this composer, but I think next year he can very well be an Emmy nominee for the music for the first. It's really, really great and very, very appropriate. So.
Wonderful, Well, I'm looking forward to that one. Fantastic.
Me too, I'm looking forward to seeing how the show plays out. And, of course, we're also looking forward to episode 2. Absolutely. And we're also looking to episode 2 and beyond of the second season of The Great American Read. Remember, public television stations, many will carry it tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Check your local to the PBS station in your area, but where it runs the program. Some stations will run it later on Tuesday, others later in the week, others on the weekend, and many PBS stations will also replay the episode tomorrow night on the weekend as well. For more details about the film online and also to get involved in the America's Best Love Novel Contest, here's where you go, pbs.org/Great American Read. That's pbs.org/Great American Read. Also check the website of your local PBS station as well. Jane Root, executive producer of Great American Read, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on how the second season's going. And again, congratulations on One Strange Rock. Happy to be back for a second season. And look forward to having you back to talk about everything else you're doing in Utopia. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks.
You're welcome, Jane. Take care. All the greatest. Jane Root, executive producer of The Great American Read, joining us live from Washington, D.C. More tomorrow, we tell live coming your way, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. And if you haven't checked out Audible.com lately, not only presenting great audiobooks, but great original audio productions. Let's talk about one of them right now. It's a unique one-woman show by Lisa Kron. It's called 2.5-Minute Ride. It's not only about her, it's about her family, and it takes a roller coaster of a turn. 2.5-Minute Ride can be yours. All you have to do is use this website, audibletrial.com/televised. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, inspiration, and information. There's over 100,000 titles to choose from. You listen to them on any device and wherever you are hearing this on right now at Blog Talk Radio Speaker or iHeartRadio. All you have to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. Get one free audiobook and 1 month trial of the service and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. So if you want to know how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world, very simple. Go to audibletrial.com/televised. Sign up for that free audiobook and 1 month trial today. When we come back, the first of two back-to-back interviews with co-stars of new TV series. Coming up at the top of the hour, Suraj Sharma from the new CBS series, God Friend of Me. But first, live from Toronto, Hannah Anderson from The Purge. She comes on also our classic trivia question of the week, and still an opportunity for you to get your Emmy predictions in by phone or chat room. All happening after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com. You're on with the best internet radio on the planet, with more than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Blog Talk Radio is your home for the Hageman Report. It's news that matters the most. The Hageman Report. Catch it every week, various times, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget that many of the Blog Talk Radio shows are also simulcast like ours on www.spreaker.com and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Don't forget, best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the Marvin Cole Live. Simon Apple back with you live from New York. 90-day edition on this afternoon before the Emmy Awards taking place tonight from Los Angeles, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on NBC. And while the program is on the air, if you'd like to throw in your own Emmy 2 cents in, do so. Give us a call, 646-652-2906. You can also use that to chat with our guests ahead in the hour ahead. And don't forget, you can also use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. You'll find our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. For the rest of our program, we have something very special for you. Not one, but two interviews back-to-back with co-stars of new television series. In this case, new television dramas. At the top of the hour, we will have Serge Sharma. He is the co-star of the new CBS dramedy, God Friended Me, that will follow 60 Minutes starting September 30th. But first up, we're going to go live to Toronto, and we speak with the co-star of a series based on one of the most popular horror film franchises of recent years, The Purge. The series premiered a week or two ago. It's on USA Network Tuesday at 10 p.m. First episode was presented on Sci-Fi, and the last episode will also be presented on Sci-Fi as well. Joining us live from Toronto, co-star Hannah Anderson. Hi, Hannah.
Hi.
Good to hear you. How are you and the cast doing up there in Toronto?
I'm doing pretty well. I have to tell you, I had a dentist appointment this morning, and they froze my mouth, and I couldn't speak properly until about an hour ago. So I'm really relieved that I've thawed out in time for this interview.
Well, have it worked out. So kudos to dentists for making it go, and you missed yourself as well. Clinton's been on for a week or two. How has the reaction been for you and the cast?
Really good so far. I don't follow the numbers myself, but I've gotten a lot of feedback and lots of, it seems like it's doing really well. The network's really happy. And even my friends who are terrified of horror are watching it. So I think all of that is a really good sign.
What's been the most, for you and the rest of the cast, what's been the most interesting reaction to The Purge? I mean, it's something when you take on one of the most, not only successful film franchises of any genre, but it's also very controversial, too, the whole idea of one day a year where people go out and kill each other. What do people have to say about that, about the theme of the of these films and now your series?
I'm actually surprised how accepting audiences have been about it. I think people are really interested in the character development. On the other side of that, there are, when I'm live tweeting, I see a lot of like, okay, let's have some killing now. So on either side, it's sort of surprising. You have the audience who really is interested in the sort of slower paced, what are the characters going to do? And then the other side of the audience that's like, let's get on with it. Let's have more violence.
Mm-hmm. How did you get involved with your character and being involved with the show?
What's that?
How did you get involved in being in part of the cast?
How did I get involved? I auditioned the normal way. I was in LA for a pilot season, and it was, I think, my second audition, and I had a call back the next day, found out very soon after that I was going to be testing for it, but then didn't actually end up testing for another 6 weeks. So it was a massive, that kind of like led me along for a while. It was a really long waiting game, and then finally did the screen test, and then found out, I think, 2 weeks after that.
Mm-hmm. And did you audition for the character you're playing now, or did you go to another character first, and then it sort of, on the rebound, decide, okay, let's put Hannah here?
No, I auditioned for Jenna right away, and I think I mean, I guess they saw something in me. I think the showrunner saw something in me because he was fighting for me from the beginning. And I was also really, really nervous. And there's a lot of first-time nerves for Jenna. It's her first time out in the Purge. So I think it just, the nervousness, it was one of those rare times where it actually helped me in the audition.
Mm-hmm. And you auditioned for some key people who have been involved, not just with the television series, but to begin with, the franchise. Jason Blum of Blumhouse is a big deal for him and his production company. You also have the actual creator of the show, James DeMonaco, and the creator of the franchise. And then you have somebody who I think is one of the most creative executive producers, directors right now, Anthony Hemingway, who did American Crime Story, did Underground.
Yes.
He's now doing your show. That's pretty, take those three people together, that's pretty formidable talent.
Yeah. I never actually met James or Jason, but Anthony Hemingway, I can't wait to see him again. We had so much fun. I was very nervous to work with him because of his reputation, but he was just such a warm presence, and he would get there 2 hours or 2.5 hours before he would start filming and, you know, to start his whole process. So he was a really hard worker. He set that tone, and he just made us laugh, made us comfortable. It was a really, really good way to start off the series.
He's been on a show before a number of times, and one of the things that and I've met him in person too here in New York, and he always likes to say that he wants to come to a set and make it comfortable so that no matter what the subject matter is, no matter what the series is, there is this nice spirit on the set that you make first, and then you go into the business of making the show.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I mean, when I think for actors, it's so much about finding ways to be relaxed, especially, you know, when you're first starting a show, everyone is so nervous. It's like the first day of school, and you have to really work hard to get through that and just do the work. So if there's already that environment of like a welcoming, you know, this is a safe place to play kind of thing, which Anthony was really good at, that was really helpful for us.
You are hearing Hannah Anderson. She is one of the co-stars of The Purge, the new USA Network series, getting a lot of great reviews and a lot of great audience feedback as well. And you can catch the latest episode tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. The first episode was simulcast on Sci-Fi, and the final episode later this fall will also be on that network as well. Hannah joins us live from Toronto, Canada, this half hour. On tomorrow will be televised. Simon Applebaum with you for the program All About Television. We're coming your way on this Emmy Award Monday afternoon before the big show tonight, which will be coming your way live from Los Angeles on NBC. And if you have a question or comment for Hannah, or you want to get your Emmy thoughts in, give us that call, 646-652-2900. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Again, next week, we have a 3-episode week coming your way to wrap up September. And next Wednesday, we've got the person that made Monk happen for so many years on USA, Andy Breckman. His newest program is The Good Cop. It's on Netflix. It's produced here in New York. And it stars Tony Danza. And it's a very unique dramedy in the world of procedurals. And he'll be our lead guest. Andy Breckman from Monk and The Good Cop. He's the executive producer of the latter series. And he's live as our lead guest. That's next Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Hannah, take us into the mind of your character and how it fits into this whole saga of this society where one 12-hour period, people get a chance to knock each other off.
That's a good description. So this is Jenna's first time out on Purge Night. The series is 10 years after the first Purge experiment. So I think Jenna's been, you know, holed up inside for the last, 9 or 10 years of the Purge. She doesn't dare go outside. So she's stepping up for the first time to get with her husband to score this business deal from a mega, mega businessman at this Purge, very expensive Purge party. And she needs to get this business deal in order to fund her real estate development company and help those less fortunate. So that's her drive, but there's a million other things going on. Like I said, again, it's her first time out. She's very vulnerable, and there's some weird tension that we sense between her and her husband right off the top. And so on a night when the two of them really need to be on the same team, they start to drift apart.
Hmm. It also sounds like your character has some good qualities, but she's also, because she's a businesswoman and this is the first time she's been placed in a situation of purging, she's trying to keep her whole act together without falling apart.
Yeah, she is actually doing a lot of acting. She has to appear that she is completely comfortable in this environment. You know, her and her husband are, they're not rich by any means. We actually decided that they were pretty house poor, which is another reason why they need this business deal. There's just a lot going on for her. So she's a pretty altruistic, idealistic sort of person, but she's definitely not perfect. We see as the story develops and as we get further into her backstory that she's got a little bit of a little bit of shade in the past, and I think it makes her character a lot more interesting.
What was your method for developing your character? Did you do any research beforehand? Did you try to base at least some elements of the character on people you know, or people who may have gone through this idea of, I got to get this project together, and I want to also keep my marriage in great shape?
I feel like this character was pretty close to me in a few ways, and so I used a lot of my own life, my own backstory to fuel Jenna's drive and emotions. Like, it was a very personal part for me, so that was cathartic in a way, and also very, very vulnerable to, you know, a lot of what I put into her is myself.
Mm. How was it cathartic?
What's that?
How was it cathartic? What made the role, or what made the aspect of the role cathartic for you?
Well, I halfway through filming, my mom passed away, and I had a place, you know, in the show in Jenna to put all of my feelings, my anger and my sadness and my pain. You know, you won't see it until later in the series, but I had a place to put all of those emotions, basically. Mm-hmm.
In the course of your character development, how much more do we get to know, especially for people who didn't see the films, how much more do we get to know about why there is a society in the first place that decides that for one 12-hour period you can commit any crime you want or go out and slaughter somebody and not pay the price for it?
We get more into it. It's not so much my storyline. It's more to do with our lead, Miguel, and his sister Penelope. We get more into their backstory, back to the Purge experiment, and I can't say too much more about that. But there will be an episode that gets into that.
Mm-hmm. It sounds from what you just said, Hannah, that the structure of these episodes is that you have separate stories that are separate storylines that we get a little or a lot of in a particular episode, whether it's your storyline,
yeah,
your husband, and Miguel and his sister and so forth.
It's a very ensemble cast, but yeah, there are certain episodes where, you know, Rick and Jenna and Lila are more featured, or Amanda, who plays Jane, is more featured, or like we sort of follow certain characters more. But I mean, in general, it's everyone is pretty equal. I think more of our stuff might come out in episode 4, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. At some point, does everybody intersect, or at least if not everybody, certain pairs or certain individual characters connect at some point?
Their stories may or may not intersect in some way at some point in the series. They're all seemingly unrelated, and then something happens that may or may not bring them together in a very strange way.
Talk about the relationship you have on your series with your with the co-star plays your husband. How did it develop, and how did you and what kind of things did you both do to create chemistry in your roles?
Between me and Colin, who plays my husband.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. We were very lucky. I think either you have chemistry right off the bat or you don't. And me and Colin, we definitely did. I mean, we had kind of a shorthand. We were constantly joking around and making each other laugh, and that just kind of kept us loosey-goosey. And anyone who has like a similar sense of humor to me, it's just a lot easier to stay open and be comfortable around them. So we would laugh our way through sex scenes, and him and I and Lila, who is part of our threesome, got together before we started filming, and we had sort of our first like date of getting to know each other, and we just hit it off right away. We were lucky.
As actors, how much interplay do you have both with writers and with directors, especially in a series like this, which I believe you have different directors for different episodes? Sort of what used to be the standard way in dramatic television, of as opposed to other shows which had one director for everything, for all episodes.
I felt like it really kept me on my toes. I think this was the first time that I'd experienced something like that, where it was, we had Anthony for the first two episodes and then a new director for every episode after that, and then the same director again for 9 and 10. It was Ernest Hemingway. No, not Hemingway. I forget his last name now. But, yeah, as soon as we would have maybe 3 or 4 days per episode with a new director, and as soon as you start to get used to the way that they work, your time with them is over, and then you have to move on to the next one. So you're constantly having to adapt to a new way of working and compromising. And each director was so different. It was sort of fascinating to watch the different process. Like one director might be more of an editor's director, one might be more of an actor's director, and one might be more of a writer's director. So that was challenging, but also really exciting. I think that it was a great way to keep things new and fresh.
Before the weekend, I was watching the premiere of the new series from Bo Walnut, House of Cards, which was directed by Angelica Holland. And one of the things that really hit me was the storytelling. In part, the ability to have the show be as visual as possible and have whole scenes where you had little or no dialogue, and it was the camera and the music and the ambiance that set the scene. There was one scene in particular where Natasha McElroy, who plays the head of the NASA project, is about to tell her crew that this first effort to go to Mars blew up like a Challenger disaster. And the camera follows her from her backside, her back, and she goes into this big hangar. You see everybody, and she begins the scene facing away from the camera to start talking about, you know, trying to, like, it's not your fault. This happened. It happened. We got to go on. And then you see her turn around and sort of semi-face the camera. The camera stays in that position, but she faces the camera as she's talking to various people. And that was a very interesting way of getting you involved in the scene, and yet trusting the actor to deliver the line, deliver the ambiance, because the camera wasn't doing it. And I'm curious whether, as you watch each episode go, whether you're finding situations where there's experimentation in how you tell the story or how your character comes across in an episode.
Well, I think just the two episodes with Anthony, I think he was trying to be experimental in certain ways, especially with the flashback. But, you know, there's only so much room, unfortunately, in TV to be cinematic and artful, because you're having to answer to the people at the top. You know, there's the business element of that. And I think sometimes the business element gets in the way of the creative, artful experience. But I, you know, watching the first episode, I think so much, like you're talking about, so much can be said without words or just sort of hovering away from the characters, and just watching their body language. I love seeing things like that in television, and I like that about our show too.
Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen the first Dune, Hannah, I think you really like it. It's a really neat show. It has a lot of women, by the way, who are executive producing and writing and directing on all sides. And I credit Bo Willimon for really providing the environment to do that, as well as Hulu, which put the show on. And I think that next year it could very well be up for some interesting Emmy Awards and some Peabody's perhaps too. We'll see. We have a few more minutes with Hannah Anderson, one of the co-stars of The Purge. It's the new USA Network series. Latest episode tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. If you have a question or comment for Hannah, get it ringing in 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Remember, coming up Friday on the Marvin Televised, live science fiction, which hasn't been seen on television since the mid-1950s, is coming back, this time with an interactive flair. The project is called Order Ducks. We will have the lead guest, the writer-director of this project, Stephen Kalko, and from Legendary, the folks behind such blockbuster movies as Pacific Rim and blockbuster television series like the Emmy-nominated The Looming Tower. It's up for Jeff Daniels' performance, up, by the way, for an Emmy Award for actor in a limited series tonight. We will have Legendary Digital Director, Development Vice President, Johnny Wickham. That's all coming up with our lead guest, Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Hawaii Televised. And stay tuned to us on Facebook and Twitter, because we may be doing this show on the road for the first time in several years. Hannah, with the Emmy Awards coming tonight, anybody you are hoping will win one tonight?
Yes. I have to root for, our Canadian beauty, Tatiana Maslany. I'm rooting for her. I'm rooting for Betty Gilpin from GLOW. I've loved her since Nurse Jackie. And Yvonne Strahovski from Handmaid's Tale. I just think her performance is so subtle and nuanced and beautiful. So those are the three women that I'm really gunning for.
I love Tatiana. I think her performance in Orphan Black has been one of the great performances by any actor, male or female, in recent years on television. I was sure she got the Emmy a year or two ago. She may have a shot. We'll see. And tough category this year. A lot of good performances in the Best Actress in a Drama category this year. And
I know.
And she's also doing Broadway. I know. And she's doing Broadway. She's going to be doing a new Broadway play coming up soon.
Yes, with Bryan Cranston.
Yes, it's Network.
The new version of Patty Chesney's
brilliant movie. And I think she played, I'm not sure what role, oh, I think she played the Faye Dunaway role. I could see her wowing the crowd with that. I think the perfect role for her. And that will be appearing very soon on Broadway. And if you get a chance to check it out. And by the way, Bryan Cranston will be part of the Tribeca TV Festival Round 2, which is happening this weekend at various places throughout Manhattan. And he will be doing a special Tribeca Talks. One of the best actors around. And I'm thrilled that he and Tatiana are getting together for Network, I think. And he played the Power Beal role, and it should be a stunner. And with Betty Gilpin, by the way, I thought she and Allison Brie, everybody at GLOW, were wonderful. That's a great show. And we got some nominations for Netflix.
Yeah, GLOW kind of got me through the dark moments in The Purge, so it would be nice to see that.
Mm-hmm. If you get a second season, how would you like to see your character develop or like to see the show develop?
Second season. I haven't even really thought that far ahead. I would like to see Jenna turn into a fighter. I mean, my dream would be that Jenna just becomes an action star in season two and gets to kick some ass and do some stunts.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see.
Well, could happen. Way things are going so far. Good sign of things to come with the way the audience has been going so far and the critics' reaction to The Purge as well, for both you, the entire cast and crew. Remember, The Purge, latest episode is tomorrow night, 10 p.m. East Pacific Time on USA Network, right after SmackDown Live. Check your locals where USA Network is available in the area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, www.usanetwork.com. Again, The Purge, latest episode tomorrow, 10 p.m. East Pacific Time, right after SmackDown Live. Hannah Anderson, thank you so much for coming on. Congratulations to you, cast and crew, on how The Purge is going so far. Hopefully the beginning of a great raid run. It's been a pleasure to have you with us. All the very best to you and your whole cast and crew.
Thank you so much, Simon.
You're very welcome. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Hannah Anderson, co-star of The Purge, joining us live from Toronto, Canada. Now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. And this week, we have the same question that we posed a week ago, but now we have two prizes in play. If you're first with the correct answer, you can get the John Edwards 6-CD set of Developing Your Own Psychic Powers. And this week, we're throwing in the CD, the DVD of Steven Milan, The Girl Whisperer's Love My Pit Bull, which he did a year or two ago for Nat Geo Wild. So all you have to do is be the first to correctly answer this question. Name the made-for-television movie that gave birth to the popular Burt Reynolds TV series Dan August on ABC back in 1970. Name the made-for-TV movie that gave birth to Burt Reynolds' series Dan August. It was the last TV series he did, and that was before Deliverance and all the other movies that made him a superstar film in the 70s and 80s. Once again, name the made-for-TV movie that gave birth to Dan August. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to include your name and where you're emailing from. If you missed the question just now, we'll post it tomorrow morning on Facebook or on Twitter at UBTSimonTWBT. That's UBTSimonTWBT. Again, if you are first with the correct answer, you will win Developing Around Psychic Powers, the John Edwards 6-CD set, and on DVD, Caesar Milan's Love My Pitbull, a series from his own whisper himself that ran for a while on Nat Geo Wild. But remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So get involved. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. So be in the game, and all the very best to you. This is Tomorrow We Televise. We are the program All About the Two. We're with you Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, sometimes on Wednesdays, too, as well, at the very same hour. We're simulcast live on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, which together reach over 30 million listeners around the world every month and growing. And we're also present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Remember, to catch us on iHeartRadio, go to their website, put Tomorrow We Televise in the search bar, click, and you get our recent episodes there. By the way, thank you to everybody who's been checking out our episodes so far this month. So far, over 6,000 replays, slightly over half the month, with a little less than half the month to go. So keep it coming. Remember, you can get us on replay at blogtalkradio.com/televised. We're available 24/7 at that very web destination, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. On podcasts, we're available on iTunes, Apple TV, and Spreaker's podcast app, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network at iHeartRadio.com. Remember, if you don't have Apple TV, you can order Apple TV online or get an Apple store near you. By the way, I also write regularly columns for MediaDose.com, the wonderful media analysis commentary site, which has terrific people like Jack Myers and Charlotte Lippman and Charlene Weiser, Evie Moss, Stuart Elliott, Ed Martin, some who have been on our program over the years, and many, many more great people covering the world of television. I have a column that just came out this morning about the interesting ad rep firm Cadent, which has changed its tune to help get more national advertising on cable and ultimately smart TV sets and devices as well. So check out that column about Cadent, as well as my series of columns, three in all right now, on the world of smart TV sets and smart TV devices. www.mediavillage.com. www.mediavillage.com. When we come back, one of the more unique CBS shows in recent years premieres on September 30th, right after 60 Minutes. It's called God Friended Me. We will have an internet radio exclusive interview with one of its co-stars, Serge Sharma. He joins me here in New York. Plus, I'll have some Emmy predictions for you. That's all after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. You are connected with the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners on its own around the world every month and growing. It's your home for women-led radio. Check out the season premiere of this popular BTR show next Friday, September 28th, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. That's women-led radio on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best BTR available always 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the Marvin Televised on this Monday afternoon, the afternoon before the Primetime Emmy Awards. And welcome to those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. Simon Appelbaum with you live from wherever you are on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, also bringing you on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. We have another great interview with a new series co-star coming your way in the half hour ahead, plus Emmy predictions too. So if you have a question or comment for our next guest, or if you want to throw in your weight behind a particular Emmy Award nominee tonight, let us know. Give us a call, 646-652-2. 2906. That's 646-652-2906. The numbers go anywhere. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. We also have our chat room for business. You can put down your question or comment or any prediction there. It's Simon Apple 04 by name, and you will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Over the years, CBS has brought a very interesting genre of television around. You could say it's sort of the genre of people helping people, sometimes with a spirituality or God feeling. Think about shows like Joan of Arcadia, Early Edition, and Touched by an Angel. Well, the latest to sort of join that genre happens on September 30th after 60 Minutes. It's called God Friended Me. It's the first one that I know of that social media plays a big role. Joining me live here in New York is the co-star of that program, Serge Sharma. Serge, great to have you here.
Hi, great to be on. Thank you for having me.
It is a pleasure to have you. How are things going getting ready for the big premiere Sunday night on September 30th?
Man, we're very excited. We've been putting a lot into this and putting a lot of thought and action into this, and hopefully the world will respond to it the way we want them to and learn something from it and take something more than just the happiness that comes from making this show.
What do you and the cast and crew think about the fact that CBS is so high on this program that they are putting you on right after 60 Minutes, which that night will be starting its second half century on the air?
Yeah, man, we're very, very, very excited and grateful that we've gotten this opportunity, because we really genuinely believe in this show and believe in the story we're trying to tell. And to hear that CBS is has as much belief in the show as we do is just great, man. We're really, really excited.
So talk about God Friended Me, because as I mentioned in the tease to this interview, CBS has been more than any other network in broadcast. Has had this kind of a show on before where you have this idea of just people helping people, in some cases sort of predicting how something was going to go, like an Early Edition where the hero gets the newspaper with tomorrow's headline and has to deal with it, or Touched by the Angel where we had Roma Downey and Della Reese going around the country helping people in dire situations and bringing sort of a God or spiritual tone to the proceedings.
Mm-hmm.
How would you describe what God Friended Me is all about and how it sort of carries on or brings something new to that tradition?
Well, first I want to say that, just in general, it's really important for us to kind of push forth the idea that people need people. Everybody needs everybody else. And as much as different we are also very, very similar. Everybody's life is tough and we need each other, right? And CBS has always been a proponent of that, so we're really, happy about that. But God Friended Me specifically it kind of deals with multiple themes, right? Like on one front, of course, there's spirituality and religion, right? The need for God or faith for someone to believe in. Then it coincides with this idea. The reason Friended is so important is because it takes this perspective of a millennial age, right, where social media is so important. The ideas, the general ideas in society often come about now through social media, so that's how people learn about things, that's how people engage with the conversations that are taking place and, on the wide scale in society. So we're trying to bring all those themes together and put them in a place where one can, enjoy it, have lightheartedness about it, and at the same time learn something from it, or at least take something away, or at least take this idea of a community. So, we're stoked about this, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. And I understand the main character of this series is an atheist, which is another unique spin on this, and that it's his involvement with social media that he decides to sort of take on this quest of how do I deal with people differently than I've done before.
Yeah, it's interesting that after all, what it revolves around the need of an atheist. I think it's extremely important, and we're trying to make sure that we try to get as many perspectives into this TV show as possible, right? So we have, you know, his family is religious, but he is an atheist, right? There's my character, Rakesh, his best friend. He's a hacker. He's very much in tune with the scientific or technical world, right? So that all these perspectives, plus, you know, the show is based off in New York, and there's a good reason for that, too, because New York, just in general, harnesses the multiplicity of perspectives that are across the world and in the U.S. itself, you know, because it's a melting pot of multiple cultures. So that's why we're taking that into play, because there's one place, if there is one place where you can find as many perspectives as possible, it's New York. And so, yeah, we're trying to get that into the show because, it's, you know, we want to see and understand this from every kind of perspective possible.
Guess what? God Friend Me is also the latest production for probably one of the hottest, if not the hottest, executive producer in television right now, Greg Berlanti. He just keeps on keeping on. We just had last week the author of You, which is his new series on Lifetime. This is his next new series. He just seems to continue to want to expand what broadcast television can do. What's it like working with not only you, but the rest of the cast, working for someone like Greg, who's been so prolific and so successful?
Well, yeah, obviously Greg Berlanti is like quite the genius. He's making things that, you know, people wouldn't really expect, and then more importantly, things that I feel like people need to watch right now or should watch right now. He's also pushing forward the network television, which, you know, at some point did receive a bit of a lull, but it's making a good positive comeback with shows that actually matter, society wants to watch. It's an absolute pleasure, you know. He gives you the guidance needed for a show to work or a story to work, but at the same time gives you and the showrunners and the directors the freedom to explore, you know, the space and explore the themes and ideas and make it their own as well. So, I mean, it's a blessing. Now, what else can I say? It really is a blessing.
You're hearing Sunil Sharma. He is one of the co-stars of God Friended Me. It's the brand new CBS series that will premiere on September 30th, right after 60 Minutes. And right now it looks like that premiere will be 8:30 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. It all depends on what happens that afternoon with the late National Football League game on CBS. So once again, it's going to be probably 8:30 Eastern and Pacific time, or right after 60 Minutes, and depending on your area. Sir, joining us live from New York, where I believe the show is produced, just like you, also on Lifetime, I might add, both from Greg Berlanti and from Warner Brothers Television. And he is live with us this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Appelbaum will be live from New York, 76 degrees at the top of the hour. We are expecting our tri-state area to may have the remnants of tropical storm, tropical depression, and formerly Hurricane Florence, sometime tomorrow, mostly north and west of the city. You have a question or comment for Serge, or you want to get in with your choice for who may win the Emmy Award tonight, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Remember, coming up next Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, there's a brand new series on Travel Channel that's live, Haunted Live. It premiered this past Friday. Well, the executive producer, Christine Schuler, on the program. She'll be our lead guest, followed by Daniel Stetson. He's the creator and executive producer of the new Adult Swim series, DreamCorp LLC. That's all coming up next Monday, 3:30 Eastern New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Let's find out more about your character, Serge. What kind of a person is he, and how does he figure into the plot?
Okay, so my character's name is Rutger. He's a first-generation American. He's an interesting guy, right? He has a lot of potential. He's very intelligent. He's got a lot of things going for him. But for some reason, because of his awkwardness and certain failures that take place early in his life, which we explore on TV show, he ends up in his mom's basement as a technician and hacker. On the side, he has a job at this place called Identity. He meets Miles, and Miles is his best friend, the lead of the show. He's this quirky, awkward dude who wants to help protect Miles from being, in his opinion, scammed by this God of Town story situation going on, but at the same time, he wants to protect his friend and be close to him and not lose him. So his story is very interesting, and I seriously do love playing him because, you know, I get to be the funny guy, which is great. So, it's fun, man. It's a lot of fun. A lot of things to learn, too, considering, you know, the different themes that we explore. It's very interesting. I really enjoyed my time so far.
Yes, this is a dramedy, by the way. This is not like a, you know, very, very tough drama to get through. What's your character? Because it is a dramedy format.
It's good because it's a dramedy. It's essentially, remember when I said we're trying to explore the multiple perspectives, this is what it is, too. You know, the show's got a, you know, it has its drama. It has its weighty moments. It has its philosophical questions. It has its lighthearted moments. It's also really funny sometimes. So, you know, it packs it all in one episode. So that in itself is a new experience for me. It's really great and fun.
Mm-hmm. We had Ineson from The Purge on in our last half hour, and she saw that in some ways playing that role in The Purge was a bit cathartic. It helped her get through some things. Did you find the same thing in a different way with your character?
Yeah, most definitely. I feel my character has a lot of things that he has lost, a lot of hope that has gone misplaced. And so through this God account, regardless of whether it is God, whether it is another hacker, whether it is a code or whatever it is, it to a certain degree does seem like he needs it more than one assumes at the beginning. I feel the show in itself goes through that process. It finds people with different problems, with different troubles that exist in everybody's life, and through its lightheartedness, through its spirituality, and through its awesomeness, it kind of tries to find a place of catharsis. It tries to find a place where it all feels like it'll be okay, and it is okay, and we're all here together.
You have an executive producer and director that was on our show a number of years ago when he did a program called The Following, which was successful for Fox, Marco Siega. What's it like working with him? I was very impressed when he came on the show. He seems to be somebody that I think is a terrific director. I've seen his directing work. He's right on the ball. He tries things, and he seems to have a very solid flavor for what he wants to get on screen.
Yeah. Marcos is one of the most interesting people I've ever met. Like, really, he's first of all, he's a very strong foundation for us as the actors on the show. Very often you find yourself in a place where you're not entirely sure of what exactly is going to happen the next day or what exactly is happening in the moment, because we're shooting so fast and so much is happening. It's great to have someone like him because he gives us this foundation. You know, he's very solid about his ideas. He knows what he wants. And just like Dredd does, he gets what he wants but also gives you the freedom to explore it, to find something more, something with more substance in it. So it's great working with him. And apart from being a great director, he's also a really great guy. He gives us the support we need. And he's also, surprisingly enough, he's an extremely good painter, which we didn't know. So he's painted a lot of things, and he keeps bringing them, and we place them onto this set, and it's just fun. Marcos is great.
Yeah. He's also been, from first to last, a great believer in doing shows in New York. Following was done in New York, this show done in New York, And he really makes use of the surroundings and really tries to put New York City as a star in his programs. Talk about working with Brandon Michael Hall. What is your character's relationship to his character? He's the lead. And what's it been like working with him so far?
Brandon is really every day quite an inspiration. And his general sensibilities very much match to a degree his character's. My character's relationship with his is that we're best friends. We need each other. He needs the lightness that I have, and I need the reality check that he brings into every episode and in life in general. It's a very strong bond. You know, I feel like apart from just the technical things that he needs from me, like to find out what's going on per episode, he also me and his family are anchors for him into his reality. So it's a strong bond. It's a strong bond where both people need each other, really. And in real life, too, I feel like Brandon has been a very, very, very big blessing to me because he's a chill guy. He understands things. He's one person I can talk to on set without regard for, judgment or anything. He's willing to listen to everybody and anything and understand it as best as he can, which is what I feel gives him this essence that he carries around from day to day. It's a real pleasure. He's a great, great guy.
Once you got your role, Serge, how long did it take to develop your character, and what kind of influences did you use to shape the character?
So it took a couple of, well, from when we found out about the pilot and when we started building the character during the pilot, it's been a couple of months. They've been very useful. Mostly we use, essentially the idea was to create a person who essentially can survive in a situation that's clearly, obviously, someone who has a potential beyond himself. So for this, you know, I have two friends that I went to university with, and just their general demeanor, their weird mix of inspiration and awkward nebbishness, which is an odd mix of personality types in the same person. So I try to harness that. Me and the writer, Stephen and Brian, we talked about it at length, and we try to give him a backstory, even when in the beginning you don't have one, you're just trying to play the part. We slowly built him, and I feel like we've given him a place where there's a lot of room for him to grow and evolve as a human within the show, you know. And we're really excited. I mean, I'm super excited to see what happens with that. Already a lot of things are going wrong for him and becoming really interesting. He's reaching his point where change must be made. So I'm really excited to see what they come up with and how I can fit the pieces of the puzzle and make it home.
How do you see that growth progressing? Is it going to hit, let's say, in one episode, in one shot, or do you want to sort of see it happen in stages where we, the audience, sort of get some clues, and then maybe over an episode or two, rather than one big episode, we get to see like a blossoming of the character?
Well, my opinion, and obviously this is just my opinion, but my opinion is that if you're making a procedural TV show, to at least to some degree, it must mimic real life. And no change ever, at least in my life, has taken place overnight. You know, there are moments that change a person and kind of mold them into what they become, but the change itself takes place over a period of time, right? So I want, for myself, I want the changes to take place in episode for episode. You know, you slowly see people evolve. You become a part of their lives, you know, and that's what's interesting to me, the connection between these characters and the audience. So for me, I would like for it to be a procedural, step-by-step thing towards making these people change and evolve and progress with the show.
Mm-hmm. For all of you, what's it been like to produce the show in New York and sort of have it be sort of your home? And it's like coming to work in an environment that – have you been a lifelong New Yorker or lived in New York before doing this?
So I've been a New Yorker for 5 years. I've been a New Yorker for 5 years. I went to college. I went to NYU. So, you know, there's always in the back of my head, there's this whole dream going on, trying to become an actor in New Yorker. So impossible almost sometimes. I was like, is this going to work out? Is this going to happen? Funnily enough, actually, during the auditioning process, I went to L.A. thinking maybe if I go to L.A., I land a good job, I land a story that I care for and want to do and be part of. And I went to L.A. to get a job in New York and then came back to New York now much happier. So it's been great, man. New York, like Marcos makes evident in all his, most of the TV shows and most of the work he does, is a character in itself. And it's great to be hand-in-hand with it, you know, to go for it. Like, there's so many things I've learned from this movie. I feel like, to a certain degree, it has molded me as well in the past 5-6 years. So, I mean, it's a pleasure, man. Like, I dreamt of this for so long. Now it's actually happening. It's great. It's really great. And I'm thankful for more than one thing. Let's just put it like that. The people we're working with, whether it's where we're working, whether it's what we're trying to make. It's good, man. It's really, really good.
It must be a lot of fun then to be back in New York and every day have the opportunity, maybe in some days to more than others, to discover, let's say, a part of New York that you didn't get a chance to see, a few years ago, and now you get the chance to experience it. Like where?
Many places. Well, the first thing that comes into my head is an Episcopal church I'd have never gone. You know, it's simple things like that. Not only is it the places in New York that we're visiting that I've only seen for the first time or seen it from a new light, but it's also the types of people that exist in New York that I wouldn't have ever known. Because there's so many different types of people so many different types of ideas and to find these little communities to, and these make up New York in general. That is what New York is so interesting, man. But the church up on in Harlem, the Episcopal Church is beautiful. We shot there. I was just kind of stunned. And to see Joel Morton in that zone, just completely being the character, being this, you see some special things, man.
God Friended Me kicks off Sunday night, September 30th on CBS, 8:30 p.m. Eastern or Pacific Time, right after the season premiere, number 51 of 60 Minutes. And once again, please remember that NFL football on Sunday afternoon that day may impact the exact time that God Friended Me goes on the air in your area. We've got Serge Sharma. He is one of the co-stars of the series. He joins me here in New York this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. You have a question or comment on meeting this with him, give us that call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You can still use to get your Emmy predictions in while we have a few minutes remaining. By the way, I want to give a shout-out to CBS for starting year number 10 earlier today of Let's Make a Deal, and year 47 of the longest-running game show in everyone's history, The Price is Right. Congratulations on Let's Make a Deal to host Wayne Brady, Jonathan Magnum, who was on our show a couple years ago, Timothy Coyne, executive producers Mike Richards, Dan Funk, and the new head of Fremantle, which does the show, Jennifer Mullen, for a great start to year number 10 of Let's Make a Deal. And, of course, in absentia and posthumously, Damani Hall and Stephen Hayes for creating the show to begin with back in the 60s. They've done a marvelous job with that program, and congratulations on the start of the year 10 and the start of the year 47 of The Price is Right from the same production team, Fremantle, as well. We've been asking everybody who's been a guest on the show today, Serge, who you'd like to see win the Emmy Award tonight. Any favorites for you?
I have no favorites, man. I really don't. I have been so busy with this whole TV show that I haven't even looked. I mean, it's quite passionate, but it's they're working us.
By the way, if the show runs long in terms of seasons, how does your character develop over the, let's say, season two and beyond?
Yeah, man, I'm really interested to see how this character, my character, develops, because we've given him space, as I said. We've started him in a place where there are a lot of things that he can change in his life. There's a lot of space for him to grow. I feel for most characters that is the case. So I'm hopeful that we stick around for more than a season, because there's a lot of places this character could go. I have a couple of ideas myself that I'm trying to push forward, but it's going to be interesting. Definitely, I feel. There are a lot of opportunities for my character to change in a fashion where, like, he can use his expertise to kind of help tease out whoever's behind this God account, regardless whether it's God or not. So I want to see how far that goes and what happens with that. His relationship with Miles and Kara's relationship, and there's a lot that can happen. I'm just looking forward to seeing it. The writing team on this has been really exceptional with coming up with new ideas for every show so quickly. It's quite tremendous. So, yeah, I'm excited, man.
God Friended Me, executive produced in part by Greg Berlanti and Marco Siega. First episode directed by Siega and presented on Warner Brothers Television, premieres September 30th, Sunday night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, right after the 51st season premiere of 60 Minutes on CBS. Again, the premiere may be delayed one way or the other if NFL football runs long. Check your local listings for the CBS station in your area for more details about the program online at cbs.com. That's God Friended Me, Sunday, September 30th, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, or right after 60 Minutes, which that night will start its 51st season on the air. So, Sharma, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations to you, your cast and crew, on getting your series off the ground. Let's hope that that Sunday is the beginning of a great run for what I think is going to be a very unique series, and we're thrilled it's produced in New York.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, man. Thank you. Thank you very much.
It is a pleasure, sir. Take care. All the greatest.
Yep. Sure.
Sharma, joining us live here in New York. Once again, God Friend of Me, Sunday, September 30th on CBS. Well, all along in the program today, we've invited you and our guests to weigh in on tonight's Emmy Award to see who they'd like to see win. And now it's yours truly to get the 2 cents in before we wrap things up. So here's my predictions for who will win the trophy tonight, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific on CBS. First of all, in the comedy category, for Best Comedy Series, I picked Atlanta last year. I thought it got screwed up by the Emmys, the Deep one last year. I'm going to try it again. I think the second season of Deep, of Atlanta was better than the first season, and I hope people really recognize it this year as one of the best shows on the air anywhere. So that's my pick again, Atlanta for best comedy. Donald Glover, I think, is a shoe-in for best comedy actor for Atlanta, and best actor for comedy, I think, is a slam dunk, Rachel Brosnahan for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. In the best drama categories, Handmaid's Tale won last year. I think it's going to be in the top three categories, double award from last year. Handmaid's Tale for best drama, Sterling K. Brown for This Is Us, best actor in a drama, and best actress, Elizabeth Moss for The Handmaid's Tale. And in the limited series category, it's a tough choice, but I think American Crime Story, The Assassination of Gianni Versace, is going to win. For best actor in the miniseries, I think it was one of the best performances of the season, Benedict Cumberbatch for Showtime's Patrick Melrose, and for best actress in the miniseries. This is a real tricky one. I'm not always happy that performances in miniseries get brought up against made-for-TV movies, but if there was one made-for-TV movie performance I think was very special, it was Laura Dern playing the director and writer of that program, Jennifer Fox, in The Tale. I think she is going to pull it out of what may be the most competitive category of the night. And my bonus pick of the night is Best Variety Sketch Series. Saturday Night Live wins every year. It is time for somebody else to win, and I am hoping I'm pulling for Portlandia, which had a marvelous 8-year run on IFC in its last season to finally pull the trophy for Variety Sketch Series. So once again, Portlandia for IFC is my pick for Variety Sketch Series, and if there's two sleeper picks in that Variety Sketch category, At Home with Amy Sedaris, and in the Actress for Drama category, a sleeper pick might be Sandra Oh for Killing Eve. I think she's getting a lot of momentum lately, and she might just pull it out. We will see. Once again, tonight, the Emmy Awards, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, on your local NBC station. I want to thank all of our guests for being here today and all of you for tuning us in. Remember, we're back on Friday, and we'll showcase the new live science fiction series, Orbital Redux, with writer-director Stephen Calcote, and from Legendary Digital Networks, developed by President Johnny Wickham. And then 1 week from Monday, we'll have Christine Schuler from the new Travel Channel series, Haunted Live, where she serves executive producer, and Daniel Stetson from Adult Swim's new series, Dream Corp LLC, where he serves as creator and executive producer. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up an episode you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, and www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Don't forget, our podcasts are available 24/7 at iTunes.com, Apple TV's podcast app, Speakers podcast app, and the iHeartRadio podcast network. Again, all available 24/7 for you. We love hearing from you. What's your take on what we showcased today? What's your thoughts about the Emmy Awards? And where do you see TV at and going in the future? Love to hear. Email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're from. That's how you get involved in our Class Trivia Question of the Week. If you missed the question, don't forget, you can also catch it again tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter at UBCSimonTWB. That's UBC Simon TWBT. We love hearing from you, so let it rip. Why? Because what you say matters. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not only those of Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. Our production associate BTR is Candace Williams. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of Blog Talk Radio are Alan Levy and Bob Charish. Tomorrow We Tell the Lives is brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For a free audiobook and 1 month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow We Tell the Lives, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your week. Keep your thoughts and prayers for everybody involved, impacted by former Hurricane Florence, and all the best to everybody who still may be impacted down the road. We'll be back with you on Friday, maybe on the road, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio Speaker, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to the rest of this week, please make it safe and make it great. And again, keep the thoughts and the prayers for everyone impacted by Florence. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned, and good luck with your enemy choices.